Now, remember, students, you have not done any good unless you touch a person's heart or conscience. So that will be, it's important for you to be prepared when you stand here at any given moment to be in the attitude of compassion. If not, you're going to run into an argument with the person's mind. You see, that's where Satan is. And so, as we speak about the anointing, you can move where Satan has no argument when you're delivering a message. Because if you speak to that person's spirit and that person's conscience who has the Spirit of God, they're going to come in agreement with you. Yes, sir. Over the years, I really found out that people really want to know the truth. Yes, sir. Hey, and people want to live right. Yes, sir. And it's our job to minister to them in such a way that they can comprehend the light of the word. You remember he said that word is a lamp to my feet and the light to my path. That 119th Psalm is something, boy. And he said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, against thee. See, there's light. And I'm learning some things in the further up in my ministry that you can learn at the beginning. See, I've been a fusser from this pulpit. I can argue my case, man. But a lot of time you're losing when you're arguing your case. You just got to yield to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's just open this session tonight, school. Father, we thank you that we're here as students, those out on the internet, Roku. We're just believing that we'll have understanding tonight that will be a blessing to everybody. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your Bibles first. Get your Bibles first. You may be seated. I want you to write this statement down because I want to work from that facet in studying this lesson. The importance and the imparting powers of the anointing. The importance and the impart as the impartating, but the imparting, the anointing have the ability to impart spiritual things. So I want you to know the importance of this lesson is anointing is outstanding. And if the Lord Jesus needed to be anointed, everybody who works in spiritual things need to be anointed, right? Jesus was setting an example for us. And there's Luke 4:18. I want you to look at Luke 4:18. We'll look at two or three favorite scriptures on the anointing. But as you notice in Luke 4:18, when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he talks about impartation. He talks about abilities that the anointing imparts. You can't really preach without the anointing. You can't bring deliverance without the anointing. There's no liberty without the anointing. People can't be not set free without the anointing. And so that the anointing, which includes the Holy Spirit and your spirit coming together, produce a what I might call a divine sanction. It overrules the enemy. That's why it says destroy yoke And Isaiah 10, I want you to get that too, Isaiah 10, 27. It destroys yokes and removes burden. When Paul, the Apostle Paul, made the presentation in, and you might make a note of it, 1 Corinthians 12, many say he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but he's talking about gifts, administration, and operation of spiritual things that come to us supernaturally from God. But that first verse, that if you get it originally, he says in 1 Corinthians 12, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual gifts. But it had been proven that he's saying, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual things. And definitely, we cannot be ignorant of how the anointing works. The anointing is far more than an emotion. It's a whole lot deeper than that, the anointing. And so, you know, even there, Jesus tells us about his ministry and how his ministry worked by the anointing. Luke 4:18. That's what Jesus is telling us, isn't it? Class. Jesus is telling us his ministry worked by functioning in the anointing. That's why when John baptized him, that dove came in the form of a dove. He and then you remember what he said in Acts 1:8? Who remember what he said in Acts 1:8? Yeah, don't you go out there naked. See, that power was pertaining to the Holy Spirit placing his anointing on their life. You cannot do ministry without the anointing. Write that down. You cannot do ministry without the anointing. And the anointing is not acrobats. You know, it's not a put-on. It's not no show. I feel it coming on now. It's just as real as putting your jacket on. Yeah, you can tell when you're clothed with the anointing. It's just like if a lady, you're putting a dress on. If a man, it's like putting your jacket on. You can sense that a higher power has taken over. And so that's one word there for you then. That's one word about the anointing. That's just one thing you had to learn about the anointing. There's one key word there. Is yield. You heard that? Yeah, yield. Yield to the anointing. Don't yield to people. When you have opportunity to minister, don't yield to them. Yield to the anointing. And the anointing will be able to minister to the needs of the people. People has needs, you know. Huh? Yeah, but I know. But it probably, if people wouldn't have need, all our churches would be empty. Go on to the beach or something, you know. But we know we need the Lord. I need the Lord, me. So I come to church because I need him. I love him, but I need him too. But knowing how to yield to the anointing is very important. And so you're going to have compassion. You're going to have love in your heart. You're going to have a desire to bless the people. Now you watch how the anointing walk in you tonight. I'm going to work it right in front of you. And you're going to be touched because I'm going to touch your spirit and your conscience. And I want you to grab it when it comes. Huh? Yeah, sometimes it looks like we're in a fight. You know, a student and a teacher or preacher and a parishioner, it just seemed like we'd be fighting each other, you know. I said, you don't want to hear what I'm saying? That's crazy, man. We got to stop that mess, man. But that anointing, we need the anointing. How many know we need the anointing? Now notice Acts 10:38. There it is again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Not Emmanuel. He didn't anoint Emmanuel. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth. A man. See, to some he was Emmanuel, to some he was the boy from Nazareth. So the Bible says how God, Acts 10:38, anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's important. With the Holy, he said how God anointed a man. With the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who was oppressed of the devil. The anointing does not respect demons. Because he who is functioning in the anointing is functioning in the Holy Spirit. And when you're functioning in the Holy Spirit, you're functioning in the triune God. And respect will come. So I was walking with myself coming here, you know, the impartating ability of the anointing. But I don't know if this is a word, but reliability. We need to rely on the anointing more than our wit, than our outline. And then we stayed up all night studying. Well, so what? If you're not anointed, you just studied all night. Because nothing going to happen without the anointing. You follow me? Now, also important here is 1 John 2:20 and 27. It's a word called an unction. I was taking it a little further that you need to be unctionized to function in the Spirit, right? The 20th verse says you have an unction from the Holy One, you see. And then truth cannot explain itself without the anointing. Good God Almighty. You heard that? I just come out of my mouth. Truth cannot explain itself without the anointing. In other words, the scriptures cannot be explained. The scriptures cannot be expounded on without the anointing. That's what 1 John 2:27 saying. See the anointing exposes spiritual lies. Spiritual deception. The anointing know it. See the anointing bring the anointing a roll of truth back into you. When that lie trying to go on, see, you know. Are you following me? And then another scripture I want to impart to you and make sure you have it in your arsenal of the anointing is Psalm 92:10. And the thing there, fresh oil. Yeah, fresh oil. You know, oil is a symbol of the anointing, the olive tree. Fresh oil, all right? I'm not talking about slinging all this slinging, selling all, and all kind of all. You give a certain offering to give you all, and I saw that on TV. But I'm talking about real, you know, real all. I got all right under my seat. I don't use it as often as to have it put in. I use it to anoint babies, and every now and then I anoint somebody if the Lord tell me, you know. I lay hands on people. And then so our lesson is talking about believers moving in the anointing. Now, I told you some things that it's going to take to move in the anointing. It's going to take, your heart going to have to be right. You got to be anointed all by yourself. In other words, you're walking right with God. Are you following it? Now, I don't think it could be no more third in this lesson. I know my middle son started for me. But I just want to go back over some things because the effects of the anointing, the impartating power of the anointing. When I look at Luke 4:18, I was driving on you, I see, you know, Jesus was saying, the anointing caused me to be able to impart spiritual things to people. The anointing caused me to be able to impart spiritual things to people that Satan can't stop. He's overpowered when a person is anointed. You follow that? And see, so we must attend to the anointing. See, the anointing on your life attracts power. It accesses power. It become a divine asset to you. The anointing. One of the saddest things to see is somebody trying to minister without the anointing. And a lot of times people learn the word and don't learn the anointing. And I steal my boys all the time. I tell my boys, I say, all right, boys, y'all studying. I know y'all sharp, but you need to pay attention to what I'm doing. You need to pay attention to this anointing. You got to get this anointing because if you don't get this anointing, you're not going to walk in the lane where you want to walk. And I'm saying the same thing to you as daughters and sons tonight. You listen to me? Why are you in this house? You're my daughter. You're my sons. And I'm saying to you, you're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to know how to make yourself available to the works of the Spirit. In other words, you know, one of my favorite scriptures now, the Lord working on me apostolically, I'm placing some things, doctrine back in the church, like the cross, communion. And all of y'all got to go to church somewhere at Christmas. All the students, you going to somebody's church Christmas. If you're not having church at your church, just go somewhere else. But you're going to somewhere. Every student is part of your grade. You got to go to church on Christmas. Because it's damnable what we have done in shedding Jesus out on his birthday. And we got complacent. We began to become social in that area. And I guess, I don't know how many churches are on the line. I know there's 107 ministers today that I'm over. All of them got to have church. Chicago, Columbus, Richmond, Baton Rouge. All of them got to have church. I didn't ask them. Leaders don't ask when to shoot. So you remember that boy got that double anointed. He asked for a double portion. You know what? I'm about to say something. It cost him. You remember the other preachers, Elijah and Elisha? Remember the other preachers were laughing at him? Yeah, they laughed. But the laugh didn't last always. Because that boy came back to that same water, and that water obeyed him because he had caught that anointing. He did what it took to get that anointing. Yeah. So he talks about looking at the effects of the anointing. So I think it opened our eyes a little clearer now as we go to the effects of the anointing by thinking about the impartational factors of the anointing. The anointing brings a divine improvement. And most of the time, I heard you, Holy Spirit. Most of the time, the anointing brings immediate results. Somewhat don't have to wait on faith because faith is already built into the anointing. Because you're not going to come to the anointing unless you have faith. You see what I'm saying? So these in the book of Acts, these immediate action we saw through the apostles was because they was functioning properly. Listen to me. Properly in the anointing. I need you to write it down. Functioning properly in the anointing. How do I know I'm functioning properly in the anointing? Fruits, results, deliverance, victory, triumph, impossible becoming possible. Difficulties become stepping stones. You see it? This is a blessing to be anointed, but it will cost you. So the author points out here, and we can see throughout the Bible in Jesus' ministry as well as the apostles' ministry, that we will be challenged. Why? We in another man's territory taking over. See, Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, the god of this world. So he's the god of this world system. So religion and politics don't like Jesus. Jesus went to the uneducated people who didn't have a lot of Bible knowledge, because once a person gets stuff in him, it's hard to get out of them. So in ministry, you're going to have challenges. Now, whether you're going to cry, run with the crybaby group, or the murmuring group, or be with the cowards, you're going to be determined by how much you understand about the anointing. But the challenges are sure to come. Okay? Now, when Jesus said, my yoke is easy, see, Jesus' yoke is an anointed yoke. You see it over there in Matthew 11, the last four or five verses. I think it's Matthew 11, isn't it? Yeah, Matthew, about coming to me, all you that labor. Well, that's an anointed yoke he's talking about. Now, the author also said, and Montreal went over this, which I'm going to go out in a certain part I got to pick up. I got it marked. But it releases faith and boldness. It releases, good God, I'd like to run just now. It releases faith and boldness. And, you know, Peter the coward turned into another man. Bible says, and the Bible emphasized, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he had a boldness with him. He cowered out a few times, but now he's another man. That's why we talk about the indwelling spirit, which one receive when they get born again, but then one need to be filled with the spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongue, where they can pray their way out of their senses into the spirit. Pray your way out of your senses in the spirit. I'll give you a scripture for that. Jude 19 through 21. Pray your way out of the senses, into the spirit, into love, into the mercy of God. Now, here's another thing to say in our book. The anointing releases revelation flow. My God. See, you get over in the anointing, you begin to hear something. It'll happen to me sitting right here tonight. Right? All this stuff I'm going to be down on this paper. You begin to hear some things in the anointing that you can't hear just because you're a Christian. See, the anointing means you have pressed over into a realm. See, there's a realm. There's more than one realm. There's a realm. There's a realm that, where there's no impossibilities. The anointing, there's a realm where there's no defeat. I didn't say no fight, no defeat. Personally, in your own personal life, to protect your family and protect yourself, the anointing just don't work on Sunday or in a classroom as we, these instructors teach tonight. No, this anointing is an everyday walk. Calls you to be a winner. And when yokes show up, you anoint it, the yoke is destroyed. The yoke, the burden come, something in your family not working right, there's a time you shouldn't think nothing. Don't think, believe. You think, Satan will get in your thoughts. And if we ever needed student in this generation, people who know how to walk in the revelation flow, it blesses people. You know, people come to ease. People have trouble, but they get in the presence of a revelation flow. And, people got spirits. It just helps. You won't get help tonight. It just helps people. Just help. Man, the revelation flow bring you in the presence of God. See, no yoke can stay in the presence of God. No burden. No, see, because the atmosphere changes so yokes and burden can't breathe in the atmosphere of the anointed. Because they're running on a different type of fuel. Then he says, I don't know if I'm going to get far, I'm just going through this. It activates supernatural breakthrough. The anointing. It activates, oh Lord, supernatural breakthrough. That means it activate breakthrough that you don't have to ask nobody for no permission. See. Now I'll get to this one. It trains us in divine restraint. Sometimes you shouldn't do something. And obedient. It help us to discern spirits, movement, and lay foundation for ongoing growth and influence. All right. And then he talks about the two dimensions of the anointing. The believer's anointing and then their specific anointing. And I hope the church helped him find out about that. And that's one of the reasons that church government has not been able, you listening? Yes, to impart to believers, as it should, because believers know 13 scriptures and had two dreams. And they don't realize that they're dealing with a ministry office that has an assignment from God to teach them something they don't know. Bring them somewhere they can't go. That's divine orders, see. So the loss of respect for ministry gift have disabled every joint to supply. And that most believers are in a survival mode when it's supposed to be in a supplying mode. See. But you know, the problem is we skip classes. And that preparational time, sometimes we don't want it. Because we want what we see in the pulpit. So we leave in second grade trying to do a college job. People come back in the room and say, she can't read. She says she got a college degree, but she can't read. I give her this job. I thought she could. She can't even read. And that's what happened in the spirit world. He said, he can't read. She can't read. I'm talking about in the spirit. And so now, this is where all your little small churches come from that are not going to ever grow. Some disgruntled member who thought it was their time to go and left early, and they'll never grow. Why? They stepped out of the flow. All right, the difference between anointing. One is a resident anointing. The other is received. We'll talk about all that. One proves while the other promote the believer. So that was a proven anointing. You know, you're always going to be tested. You see, there are spiritual classes, good God Almighty, that you have to pass before you can be promoted. Now, I always liked, I had a lady in times of integration was coming, but and that black people was being promoted, and this black woman was in my church, and she put in her name in the head for a principal job. Wasn't normal, you know. She a led woman at that, and she black. Her and I had a conversation, and she said to me, I taught her what she told me, but I thank God she had it. She said, you know, promotion coming from the Lord. If you don't know where it's at, in the 75th Psalm. Yeah, promotion coming from the Lord. And say, I'm standing on that, Pastor. I said, you'll get the principal job. She got it. Yeah. You can't see, promotion is more powerful than politics. If you ever pursue prestige, shika, top rope, heck. You ever pranshore me, hey bros. Yeah, but that's that anointing right there. if you yield. He'll promote you. Yes, sir. The dumber you are, the greater God will promote you. You know, all of us dummies, when it comes down to the spiritual world, yes, we need to be feeding all our lives and never comprehend or take in all God wants us to have. It's sort of like, you know, all y'all know the story, but it's a good application. You have that 23rd Psalm reading. This man read it with all the eloquence. You know, and he pronounced his word. And then this old fella came up and just chopped it up. But the glory came, the power came. Somebody said, well, what happened here? He said, he know the song. The old man know the God of the song. And that's what I'm saying to you about the anointing. You cannot, one of the main reasons God have you in this school is to see how this anointing functions. You'll see surges of it. It'll come in this room. You see surges of it. It'll hit and it arrives, it'll hit, but it promotes the believer. All right, now, the anointed matures in Christ-likeness. Now, Christ-likeness is L-O-V-E. The other release us in Christ-like ministry. I don't want to go over, you know, we had David and the Philistine and the Antioch church. There are three things I saw in there, and I had them highlighted here, and I know my joy to talk about them, but the anointing is the only thing that can break cultural barriers. The only thing. I mean, you a person saved. You know, it just break culture barrier. It just have no respect to what man trying to do and foolishness. The anointing come in and break those barriers. And then, listen up, because we all need this one. Personal limitation. Oh, Lord. I will hum now. Personal limitation. Are you following me? See, I know this. If anybody know this, look, some of y'all are a whole lot smarter than me sitting up there. On the internet. You know, some of y'all real high IQ. But the anointing removed my personal limitation. But you got to know how to yield to him. What about barriers? Things get set up in your way to block you out. He said the effect of the anointing will remove barriers out of the way. You read the book of Acts, you read any about the prophets, you see that they got out by the anointing. So we see that the anointing is a vital part of the believer's life, and much more, those of us who believe that God have called us in the ministry is a vital part of our life, because our life has to bear fruit to be in ministry properly. We not only preach salvation, but we have to preach sanctification. We got to bear fruit. We got to live it. It is pointed out here that the victories that comes in our lives in the spiritual world will have to come by the anointing. All our accomplishments. And then, listen. The anointing will take you to dimensions that you could not go to otherwise. So we're talking about broke culture, personal limitation, barriers. We're talking about victories. We're talking about accomplishments. We're talking about dimensions. Now, hold on now. We're speaking spiritually, my brothers and sisters. But when that which is spiritual happen, that which is not spiritual have to take manifestation of it. See, manifestation and demonstrations comes out of the spirit world. I beg your pardon, they come through the anointing. Okay. So the author plainly say the anointing equip us for the task for which God have called us. So if I'm not anointed, I'm not equipped. And he went on, I got to go over this. The enemy will rise from all quarters to challenge God's anointing on our lives. He'll try everything. He'll try to see, do you know what you have? He already knows what you have, but he won't know, do you know it? Now, don't you permit, oh, Lord, don't you permit the devil to know more about the anointing than you know. See, that came running through my spirit. Because he's aware of it. He's afraid of it. But he don't want you to know that you can have it. Because once you operate in anointing properly, you become his master. See, when the Lord talk about in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion and over all the power of the enemy and do you no harm. He's talking about an anointing now. Huh? Bible talks about in Ephesians 4:27. He says, give no place to the devil. He's talking about the anointing there. He said, in one translation, he said, give him no foothold. He can't get a foothold on an anointed person. See. Now, you were just a word, he can get a foothold. You know why? Because you don't really have the whole part of the word. The word is full of the anointing. That's why Jesus said in John 6:63, the word that I speak to you is spirit and life. He's talking about the anointing. And what anointing are you talking about? He's talking about Romans 8:2 anointing. See, get that now. John 6:63 is pointing you to Romans 8:2. It's over then. See, when he talk about the spirit of life, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's an anointing. That's the anointing. So therefore, the law of sin and death can't do nothing with it. You still here? When God approves us, he will anoint and empower and empowers us to deal with the enemy. And you must never advertise for the enemy. Every attack, you don't have to tell everybody. Don't come to the pulpit and I feel sick today, my head hurt, but the Lord going to help me. The Lord should have helped you stay at home with your crazy self. You don't need to be advertising for the devil. Just stand there with the headache and preach it out. Yes, I'm coming to pulpit sometimes. I was dizzy. Bad I could walk. I eased on up here like I was strong as ox. And it's just got the preaching anointing came on and the thing left. So, and this is going to help somebody because some of y'all being intimidated in your finances. You're being intimidated in your body. You're being intimidated in your family. We must not be intimidated when we are challenged by sin, sickness, and satanic forces. Do not be intimidated. Stand your ground. Word of heaven, stand your ground in the anointing. They went on to talk about how David faced Goliath and some of those things. I'll just hit the highlight now. The anointing releases faith and boldness. The anointing put us into a flow of revelation knowledge. The anointing bring us supernatural breakthroughs. And I'm trying to get to my point where I want to start hitting some things here. I want to start where it said the anointing brings not only divine release. What is divine release? Man, the anointing brings divine release. You know, think about that a minute. Let's do it backward. I'm released divinely. Divine release. In other words, that must be consist of the Holy Spirit becoming a personal helper. But you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you doing it. Because you're in a divine, you got a divine release there from the Holy Ghost. And but also divine restraint. See, you got to know when to release and you got to know when to restrain. Know when to release, know when to restrain. Know when to release, know when to restrain. Know when to say something, know when to say nothing. Jesus said one time, he's coming toward him, he said, I don't have much to say now. My enemy coming, he ain't got nothing in him. Because if you say something, you get something on you. So we got here, David had to learn not to go out in haste. Not the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. And everything about prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Then it says, in the peace of God, which pass all understanding, shall keep your heart. Watch it, what are you keeping? Your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. See, it's important. So I made this statement some years ago. My members have brought it back to me. There's never no emergency in the spirit. You imagine hurrying God? You can't hurry God. See? So David had to learn, and you're going to have to learn, not to go out in haze. Not to go out in haze. This stool here is uncomfortable. Get that other stool. It just work with the table, must be. Where that old stool at? I didn't mean no harm, David. But I just sitting behind here. David, as well as you and I, David had to learn not to go out in haste. Watch now. Watch what it says now. According to the old directions and patterns. Here's a word you got to know about the anointing. Here's a word you have to know about the anointing. F-R-E-S-H. Fresh anointing, fresh direction, fresh strategies. Just because you let David meet another Goliath and get that slingshot. The slingshot was we're going to use that time. David met other giants. He had to use something else. See? And so the old pattern and the old direction, the man who on TV, I used to watch him, and he was advertising a beer he drank. He had a little beard on him. He said, stay thirsty, my friend. And so what I want to say to you is stay fresh, my friend. Stay fresh, see? You need a fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. How that going to happen? Prayer every time. Spending time with God before you do something for God. So old direction, old pattern. And then, see, that's why the tradition of the church got stuck. Yeah, they got one pattern, and man, they rolled their horse, turn into soap. Because the Lord, watch out, I'm about to say something to you right now. You ready? The Lord want to do something fresh in your life. Yes. Would you receive that? Yes, now I'm saying this out of an anointing. Yes, sir. The Lord want to do the staleness of your life need to be removed. Yes, sir. Routine. Holy Spirit, I need something fresh. Say it to him. Yeah, fresh. And he'll give it to you. Yes, sir. Now, a lot of people want to know the resurrection, power of the resurrection in Philippians 3:10. I believe you better move over this way, son. Hey, come on over here. Because you texting or something on me. You'll make me hot up in here. Take your phone about you. I know you're married, but I take your phone about 3 months. So I said, but he's a man. I know you're a man. But he's in ministry. You got to pay attention. That's how I want him to get this. You got to get this anointing. Got a gift, too. That boy got a gift. You got to get this anointing, though. You got to get this anointing. You got to pay attention. Put the phone up. No, they use the excuse. They're using them phone on them iPads to get notes from me. But is that what you're doing? You should, huh? You using it as a Bible? You can go ahead and use it then, all right. I ain't apologizing, though. I just thought about it after I said it. He might be using it as a Bible. Because every time I see a nigga texting, you know, man behind me, I was trying to text. He blowing me. I like to pull in front of the corners. He blowing me. So I got my badge out. You don't be blowing on me. The way to obtain the resurrection anointing is written in Hebrews 12:2. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising not the shame, and is now set on the right hand of the Father. See? Or Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. You got to, self got to get out of the picture. Yes, sir. You got to die to flow in the anointing. All your self-effort, all your self-strength, all your self-abilities, all your IQs you have learned will contaminate the anointing. The anointing is pure Holy Ghost on your recreated human spirit. Amen. So past victories, past experience, they are good within themselves. You can testify to them, but you can't depend on them. Yes, sir. Got it? Yes. Say, I got that. Say, I got it.
I got
it. All right. Now, the anointing helps us to become more sensitive to the spirit realm. Now, I mentioned this scripture in Philippians 1:19. Did you get that scripture? Did I mention that scripture tonight? Philippians 1:19. Turn now. The Apostle Paul was thanking him for praying for him. But he made a statement in that 19th verse, the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. Supply of the Spirit. Now, the anointing, oh, Jesus, the anointing is a supply of the Spirit. Yeah, yeah, see, it's the Spirit supplying the strength of the Holy Ghost to your life and to your ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
And so I must have this supply. So it's a supply of the Spirit. Now, when you talk about a supply of the Spirit, we're talking about the anointing, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about the ministry gifts. We're talking about the arm of God. All those are supplies of the Spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See? And so to go over in the Spirit realm here, I ought to point out, my goodness, the anointing helps us to become more sensitive to the Spirit realm. Now what happened a lot of time, you see, there's two realms. There's a natural realm, there's a supernatural realm, there's the visible realm, there's the invisible realm, there's the impossible realm, and there's the possible realm. Now, you have the ability to operate in both. Choose this day what realm you will live in. And it's going to cause you to live in another realm, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So it says it helps us, two things here in this first statement. It helps us, the anointing helps us to know God's timing, which is so important. God's timing is not tick tock, tick tock.
Yes,
God's timing does not come off a clock.
Yes, sir.
See, God's timing will have to be revealed to you.
Right.
And not only God's timing, fresh direction. Fresh direction. You know, like some of these boys on the line today, we made fresh direction for the whole organization. Everybody going to have church on Christmas Day. It's a shame to have God church doors closed on a day they're celebrating Jesus' birth and stores fighting to be open.
Yes, sir.
And then I'll watch in a few minutes television now. It says there's a war on Christmas.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to answer that war, partner. Now, I walk in a building, this next statement, I could walk in a building or walk in a meeting and gauge the atmosphere. See, the anointing helps us to gauge the spiritual atmosphere of the climate of a place. You can walk in, you can find out you might be in a hostile situation. I've been in a hostile situation. They sent for me, but it still was hostile. And so I knew, my spirit knew I was in war. So what I did then, I collapsed in the hand of the Lord. If I and then the nights I didn't collapse, I really collapsed. Because I try to do it from force, and you can't do that. Tradition is stronger than that. We're talking about functioning in the anointing. I'm saying it different ways, okay? Flowing in the anointing. Huh? When we know how to gauge the spiritual atmosphere by the anointing, or bring a spiritual atmosphere with us and a climate with us, having, the author said, having such an ability gives us an advantage. And so what I've been doing since I've been sitting here tonight, building in the spirit world. And you'll find yourself, you're in the presence of power, provision, like never before. See? You have an advantage when you're anointed. Then you have the ability, and you're going to need to have this ability. We can move all the negativity, all the negative of the demonic influences, and release God's spirit into that atmosphere. Now, I'm going to give you a secret here now. There are secrets, you know. There are secrets and mysteries in divine things. One of Jesus' greatest secrets was he had compassion on them.
Yes, sir.
I told my congregation, you know, I'm coming from the Baptist. And so we left the seven words Jesus said on the cross because it was only competitive. I came through a competitive time with them. You know, I have one word, and the other boy have the other word. We see who preached it better.
Right.
Yeah. All the churches from all around come together. But I'm going to minister those seven words or have somebody to minister with me that's going to minister like I wanted ministered,
yes, so
we can understand them.
Yes, sir.
You know, first one Jesus said, here's compassion. Father, forgive them.
Yes.
They don't know what they're doing. Man, you got to be God to do that. People nailing you to, and so, but that's, he's our example. And listen to this. Neither one of us never been nailed to the cross. They might have talked about you and called you a buzzard, but they never nailed you to the cross. And you can't forgive them? So you need a forgiveness anointing. Now go find that in the book. You see? You need the anointing to forgive. So, you're going to go in demonic influence sometime in churches. You run up on deacon demons.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you walk in there, but that's some of the biggest demons you ever see in your life. You walk in there, they're monstrous demons because they think they can run God's church and God, man, or woman. That is wrong.
Yes,
and Satan slipped that in the church. I had to deal with it when I first started.
Yes,
you know, we had to. Thing here, you've heard it before, when the people were separated from us, I tore them down, teared down.
Yeah.
Now, there's a discerning in the spirit that is not the gift of discerning. You ought to, the discerning that means an opening, understanding of spiritual things.
Yeah.
And then that's the gift of discerning spirit. Now, the anointing through the gift of discerning spirit is an essential ingredient. And help us become builders in the spirit realm. Think about that, builders in the spirit realm. Now, another thing he said here that I think is one of the greatest lessons, the anointing will bring success, growth, and influence. Three things, success, growth, and influence. The anointing will bring that. Hallelujah. I said anointing will bring success, growth, and influence. You know, even in my own very ministry, you know. I have partners around, thousands of partners around the world who actually love Carolyn and I and my boys, my whole family.
Yes, sir.
What did that? The anointing. See? Oh, this can't be true here. I'll just read it. God desires us to be successfully and want us to unpack a city and influence a nation. That can't be right. God don't want us to be successful. See? Now you got to take all the eggs and put it in the basket now. You got to take all the other, don't be anxious, don't make haste, all the things. Don't just jump on the success now. See? You got to put all the ingredients for it to come out right. Huh? Abraham, he spoke this to Abraham in Genesis 12. I know where it at. After he told Abraham, he blessed him, cursed him. He says, and God desired for all of the families of the earth to be blessed. So in the traction of the anointing, God's ultimate desire that all families of the earth will be blessed through us. I'm taking a hold of that.
Yes, sir. Me too.
I'm taking a hold of that. You got to correct people, but you don't have to fight them. And you don't have to be a softy.
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. I want you to hear this. He promised to raise us up so that we will be called blessed. Well, why you call me blessed? You know, I made this statement. I don't like to use the word nigger much, but I made the statement in 20,000 people. And I said, if you knew how blessed I was, I don't care what color you was, you'd be at the altar on your knees saying, Lord, if he's a nigger, make me one too. To express my point, you see? The Holy Ghost to express my point. Yeah. See, people call you blessed. You see, Jeremiah 33:9.
Yeah.
See, the anointing. See, you can't be anointed and not get blessed.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's not only do he want all the families to be blessed, he wants us to be people. When people see us, he called us to be blessed, call us blessed. Not just because of material thing. No, no. Watch what I say now. And you notice, I'm anointed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
But it costs me to be anointed. If you can't handle that, tough. You just can't handle it, tough. How much you got?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It costs. The anointing is the most expensive commodity that exists.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It costs you. I feel it coming now. It costs you. It costs you. You know, some people think they have the anointing. They ain't got no anointing. And Cruffalo was talking to God. The God, said, whew. Cruffalo said, what you doing, man? Man, I got the anointing like Doc. He said, you ain't got Doc anointing. Doc anointing ain't whew. You got some effect with it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Then the man, whew. Said, Cruffalo said, he fell out of the chair. Man, boy, you ain't got no anointing. Boy come crawling on his knees, said, we got a meeting going. A boy come crawling on his knees, said, he hollered. So I said, man, what is this boy doing? He said, I'm an apostle. He said, I know I'm an apostle. I said, Creflo. He said, Doc, what am I going to do? I said, that's your man. Go talk with him, man. He ain't no apostle, man. He cried. He still ain't no apostle. You think he won't? He ain't no apostle. Listen very carefully. I'm seeing this. Without the anointing, there will never be no government. You cannot govern the work of God without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It will not work. You can have all the word you want. But if you're not packing that anointing, developing that anointing, training that anointing, submitting to that anointing, releasing that anointing, you're not operating in heaven government. He gave us that anointing to operate in his government.
Yeah.
Operate at a higher plan and a higher level than politics, than religion, than smart people.
Yes, sir.
See, the anointing rises above all them. The anointing is above college professors with degrees and smart people. The anointing above that.
Yes,
why? It's in another realm.
Yes.
It's miracles, signs, wonders, supernatural, being born again, being filled with the Spirit, going to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, that's come out of the anointing. And here's where people have a problem. They've had a problem with me for 20 years with this. God is raising many men with different anointing. and setting them in specific places and position of authority to bring influence, change, and life to a dying world. And men don't have a tendency, they want the anointing to come through somebody they pick. They become the Holy Ghost. I want him to have it. Just give him a little bit. So the Lord come along and anoint a jackass. Yeah, the jackass was talking to the boy. Lord, we had more anointing than the boy. The jackass saw the angel. That's why the Bible said God had not chosen many wise men, but foolish men. You know. How did Joseph have the capacity to govern in Pharaoh's name? He was anointed. Do you imagine the responsibility that boy had? He was young too. But the anointing and the favor of God was on him. The anointing prepared David to subdue all his enemies. David was anointed. The anointing prepared Daniel to rule in the midst of the kingdom and system of Babylon. They tried it, remember the sixth chapter of Daniel, they tried to trick him? But that anointing was there. See. You got to respect, you got to realize, you got to recognize the reality of the anointing. And so he got a point here, said, let the anointing prepare every believer for functioning. Now, I don't travel much in other circles anymore. I got my team I'm building. But every now and then I got to go to some wake or funeral. And then I feel so sorry for them. You know? They all need to come. I say, come on, go to school. I'm letting all y'all go free. I'm serious. Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm serious because that's how backwards it has become, because the worst thing in the world is a pretense anointed, pretending to be anointed. And a real anointed person know there's no anointing here. See? The author says here, when he talk about the two dimensions of anointing, he says, there have been much confusion in the Christian world concerning the anointing in the 70s and 80s. And more than that. Because I want you to remember, Flatfoot, remember about this. See, because as an apostle, the Lord having me correct doctrines in the church. And the message of the cross is the major doctrine that we took out and we went to a throne ministry. The cross is the only thing that separates us from every other society.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He died.
Yes, sir.
He paid.
Yes.
He got the victory.
Yes, sir.
I want you to pay attention when you're reading the Bible and see, you know, as I minister to communion to, there's a $4,000 check on my desk now. A man and his husband is watching on the internet and their eyes been open about communion, what it really means.
Yes,
and they said, thank you so much. My eyes are open from the revelation of what communion really is. As often you eat this bread and drink this cup. Now, yes, the internet's voice. You do show the Lord death till he comes. Why in the world I want to show the Lord death? Well, the Lord death is my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're actually showing the whole New Testament and the Old Testament when you show his death. Are you listening? Class, at large, the church today is in trouble. Going through all the motion is one thing, but really changing the life of people will take a sound teaching on what Christ did on the cross.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm not talking about a hoop and closing.
Right, right.
I'm talking about an opening.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's so powerful. All right. Give me a few more minutes. Oh. He said, we saw many men and women of God fall into error and sin, though they were greatly anointed. Now, I'm glad this statement is made because the anointing has to be backed up with the right type of bread. People who are anointed have to keep feeding or they're going to go in error. It's a combination of the word and the spirit. You see what I'm saying? So an anointer has to be a feeder. Because I've seen great men with gifts, but they died at 39. Now, my dad lived to be 86, I think. He tried to tell some of them guys. I know a guy who had a big ball on that woman's face. He just took his hand and pulled it off. And that woman's face came like a newborn baby. He holding it in his hand. But he died at 39. Why? They operated in those gifts, and they didn't spend time with God. Sometimes, you know, the gifts is dangerous. It's dangerous to get real anointing, and then you come back and practice the old soup, you know, because you've seen it. You know how to function in the spirit world, but yet you yourself have not studied to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So don't get in trouble. And then he says a reactionary teaching of charisma versus character further confused the church. Uh-huh. Charisma. Now, charismatic, we got in the charismatic movement, the word of faith movement, you know. We taught faith, healing, left prosperity out. But we left something else out. Sanctification that came at the same time your salvation came. And the only way you're going to be sanctified is you're going to walk according to what that cross, the finished work of Christ, has done. And so these charismatic, I'm not against charismatic. I'm a charismatic myself. But the charismatic, character is more important than charismatic. And so these people are charismatic, but they're not, they don't have no character. Are you following me? So make sure, first place, build your character in sanctification, in holiness. Oh, Lord. Yeah, build your character. Your character. Live right. Yield to the spirit of living right. See? The result, some chose the character but rejected the charisma, while others became more confused than ever. Then vice versa, some chose the charisma and rejected the character. You know, now, this foolishness out in California. What they call it? Reality what? Preacher, what do you call them? Huh? Preachers of? What? Y'all know preachers of reality. Listen. That's stupid. It's already enough problem with us getting blessed. We're supposed to be blessed. You don't want to be showing them lease cars on TV like that. And them lease houses. You shouldn't be doing that, man. I'm not excited about that at all. You know, Flip Wilson was on TV playing a woman for many years. I walked through my den one time. I told my wife, I said, God, you're going to wipe this out. He wiped it out within the next 2 months, I think. God's going to wipe that out. In the name of Jesus. He's going to wipe it out because we got people lost, need to be saved, and they don't want to see no card. You on that talking about, hold that coat, that's our money. It was too tight anyway. Stop this foolishness, man. I they don't bother me. They can't touch me. Let me close with this. So this charisma is not as important as character. But you should have both. But put character first. Amen? Now, here's where it's going to be a swing of the pendulum. Pendulum, I think that's what you call that thing. I'm saying it right? Huh? Some of y'all don't know whether it was right or not. You're just looking at me. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the thing in that clock. I got one at the house. What you call it? Pendulum. I believe I said it right. All right. Well, I got one. Yeah, I ain't got to say it. I can look at it. The devil has got to swing to extreme, and we need to bring apostolic understanding to this essential truth. See, now this, I'll tell you, Clarence, I'm going to close with this, but this thing about the apostle, and I'm not trying to push me because I didn't go no man, nobody laid hand on me, I had no ceremony. I was actually called by God to be an apostle. I had a man come up to me Wednesday night out of New Orleans, and he asked me the question, he says, how you know if you're an apostle? I said, God called me to be an apostle. He called me and said, I've called you to be, just like this, I've called you to be an apostle. Jack Wood, God said it. I know his voice. Yes. Yeah, when you quit your job broke and got some kids, you better know his voice. Yes. I call you to be an apostle. I have no idea what he's talking about. I've seen people say there was apostles, saw, heard about apostles, read in the Bible about apostles, but I didn't know what an apostle really is. Now, I tell you what, 90% of the church don't know. They have no idea of apostleship. And as one of Satan's greatest deception that he pulled, that apostles have not been functioning in these churches to keep sound doctrine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How the cross got out of the church? It's been gone. Y'all can set your like name. It's been gone. It might, the cross can't be honorable mentioning. See, it's a central factor.
Yes.
How we got away celebrating Christmas, including me, my own church here, these people, my people, got them at home on Christmas. They need to be out here praising God, singing carols and praising God. How we got away from that? I'm studying the cross, and the Lord called me on the carpet. He said, don't have no Christmas service. No. My son's birthday. My son, celebrating the day my son born. And he had the house eating turkeys and open gifts. He said, you're going to have to correct that. Yeah. Go back and tell your people you're sorry, correct it, and tell them you're going to have church Christmas morning.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
How did they trick us like that? I always had problem with it. Them boys in them different states messed me up. I flew 500 hours one year in my first jet. And I had no toilet on, no restroom. You just hold it. Fly hours, man, hours. But anyway, we flew 500 hours on that jet. I was preaching every week in different states, just flying. But I get talking to them, we go out to lunch in Melvin. Sometimes it's good not to meet somebody. See, Melvin still have Christmas, sir. I call everybody, he said, I never stop. From the old school, see. But they would say, we talk about Christmas Day, you know. Oh, we don't have no church on Christmas unless it's on Sunday. Make you feel like you're stupid, you know.
Yeah.
So I say, okay. Then I go in another state. Oh, no, we don't have church on Christmas. So I got back with my ignorant self. We ain't had no service Christmas. I've been doing it for quite a few years, too. But you know one thing? Every Christmas morning, I had a sick in the stomach feeling. I knew something was wrong. I knew some disrespect was going on, and I didn't consult the Holy Spirit properly about it. Thank God I know now.
Yes, sir.
Not a Christmas of past. As long as that breath in my body, how am I feeling right now?
Yes, sir. Yes,
that we won't give Jesus his armor.
Yes, sir.
We're not traditional. We're revelational. Tradition people do a better job than us sometimes. They do hold a horse on the rope.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We done turn the horse loose. Tell me we'll wake him tomorrow. No, but thank God. See, that's apostolic.
Yes.
You could be on the phone with I don't know how many pastors preaching, and the one who don't pastor the church, You can tell 100, how many, I don't know, 100 what, 135, everybody going to church Christmas, grown men and women.
Yes, sir.
But why? Because it's divine order. Yes. We're getting back in the place the way God wants to bless the church.
Yes, sir.
And they're all going to go.
Yes, sir.
They're all going to preach.
Yes, sir.
Got to preach. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And so that's why I said, y'all worship the Lord on Christmas Day. I mean, you don't have to stay at church all day, but come preach 30, 35 minutes. Preach Christ. Preach the trailers pointing toward the cross.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the ways he got my attention. The Lord says, you know, the trailer pointing toward the cross. I said, what? He said, a trailer is pointing toward the cross.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, sir, I got that. I understand. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, class. Now, continue reading chapter 24, I guess. Yeah, keep reading it over and over. And go to chapter 25. Passionate believers who are purpose-driven. Passionate believers who are purpose-driven. They talk about positioning yourself and pursuing Jesus. Having a passion. I've been having this ever since I got saved. I have a passion. I'm hungry. I stay hungry. I read a thousand of books at my house. I got this teacher tonight. I'm reading about the kingdom. I'm learning some things about the kingdom that I've never seen before. You know, John the Baptist, daddy was a priest. But he ain't had no priestly ministry. He went in the wilderness. Then John didn't dress like no preacher. But he had one thing. Power. And he had heard from God. All right, God bless you.